It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, wildlife trafficking. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
Ben.
What?
Did you know there's this phenomenon that happens in midlife when you suddenly become like an amateur bird enthusiast after a lifetime of bird ambivalence at best?
Yes, I was briefly somewhat aware of this phenomenon. I know you have become more interested in birds over the years. And we've got the ring system, and there's birdhouse right below one of our ring cameras. Aww. So I'm starting to feel some of the urges, like, oh, yes. Look at that pretty bird.
It's a yellow-throated warbler. Mm-hmm. Wobbler, something like that.
Or a warbler. Red-bellied sapsucker. Which apparently is a real bird that lives around here, because the arborist that came out to check out our trees was telling us that's what all these holes in the trees were from. It's a woodpecker or something.
Oh, that's very cute.
And apparently Yosemite Sam used to say that all the time. You red-bellied sapsucker.
Oh, okay. You know, nobody's going to... What cartoon was that from? You have to tell people. Remember?
Yosemite Sam, Bugs Bunny.
You're saying this like everyone's going to know.
Well.
But remember, we have listeners in the Philippines, Hungary, Japan, Vietnam.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Bugs Bunny.
We're streaming in 21 countries.
Yay.
Okay, well, anyway, yes. Mm-hmm. This was also evidenced by the fact that I received not one, but two bird feeders with cameras that identify the birds for my 50th birthday last year.
What a great gift.
I know. I have one still sitting in a bag in the garage because who needs two?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway,
you could put one on like one side of the house and one on the other.
That's true. But I feel like the same birds fly around the house. So I'm not going to get different bird activity.
Could be. You'll have to test it out though and see.
Okay. Will do. So this episode is not on birds.
Okay. I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's on wildlife trafficking.
Okay.
And so I wanted to begin with a recent case in the U.S. because it's so unusual, and that the offender was actually exploiting a Native American demand in the U.S. for eagle feathers for ceremonial purposes.
Oh, wow.
So a Washington state man pled guilty last year to killing at least 107 hawks and as many as 3,600 birds total.
Yikes.
On the Flathead Indian Reservation in Montana. He's currently facing a 5-year sentence on conspiracy charges and restitution of over $750,000.
Wow.
Which is $5,000 for each eagle killed and $1,750 for each hawk.
Mm.
So it is illegal to buy or sell eagle feathers or other parts, but the government has sought to offset strong demand for feathers among Native Americans by providing them for free from a government repository.
Which is hilarious. There's a government repository for eagle feathers?
Not for everyone, though. Only for Native Americans.
Yeah. So is this like an eagle hatchery where they just raise eagles and pluck their feathers? Or how does this work?
I have no idea. I did not check this out. So maybe they are raising. Have you seen the video of Jackie and her partner, the two eagles that just had three chicks?
No.
Oh, okay, because it's all over Instagram. Mm, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't know the answer to that question, so we're going to have to investigate.
Check out what a government eagle feather repository is.
So unfortunately, they are unable to keep up with demand, and the repository has a years-long backlog.
Oh.
So this industry can be quite lucrative, and Branson was estimated to have made between $180,000 and $360,000, that's 1,000 for our international listeners, from 2009 to 2021, selling bald and golden eagle parts illegally.
Well, it sounds like he got gypped, because only made $360,000 and has to pay back $750,000,
that's exactly
somebody
what I
cheated
thought.
Him out of something.
Yeah, he's like upside down on restitution here.
Yeah, yeah.
So this case was limited to trafficking in animal parts from an animal that's native to and lives in the U.S. Mm. So the poaching and selling to customers happened in the same area. However, one of the major concerns with wildlife trafficking is the scale of it as a global industry.
Yeah, right. So worldwide trafficking of wildlife and wildlife products is a $1 billion trade. and estimated to be the fourth largest illegal trade globally. I never would have guessed.
Yes, that. I did know this mm-hmm. from my state crime class when I talk a little bit about organized crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wildlife trafficking, I thought I would just provide a clear definition because
please.
I had to kind of like look it up to figure out exactly what it is. But according to Customs and Border Protection, it's the harvesting and selling of wildlife or wildlife products and can include, but doesn't have to since we just talked about the right. eagle feathers, global moving of animals or mm-hmm. animal parts for pets. Food, fashion, so like wearing nice tiger yes. print, or medicine. And yes. so it can include things like, you know, smuggling tigers into the country,
right.
or killing elephants to harvest their tusks to sell for ivory. And I was recently listening to an episode of This is Criminal with Phoebe Judge, and it was about catching a butterfly smuggler.
Oh,
have you listened to that episode
no.
yet? But this was just like one guy, and so I forget what agency it was with, but like there was this guy from Japan who was like this exotic butterfly seller in this, maybe it was customs actually, but
yes.
this U.S. customs guy who basically like went undercover at one of these wildlife shows and like struck up this friendship with them and ended up bussing. But it was really cool because it talked about how they would like smuggle butterflies.
Yeah, where do they put them?
Well, apparently, and the guy was kind of like cagey about it, the guy that they were interviewing, because he's
yeah.
like, I don't want to give
it away
tips yeah. to a smuggler so they can get
right.
away with it. But apparently you can like, after butterflies are dead, you can like wet their wings
aww.
And kind of like fold them up and then dry them out. And they're
oh.
just like super tiny. So you can stick them in between pages of books or in your pockets. And
people buy them like that?
It's very, well, you after you smuggle them through the airport, then you can like wet them again and dry them out and unfold the wings and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean,
sense.
So it was talking about like these, I forget where it was. I mean, it was something like the, you know, some mountains, I don't remember. But basically like these huge butterflies that are like, you know, a feet long
yeah.
in length, and you can just like wet them and fold their, and you don't damage them. Apparently there's a way
oh.
you can do it. So it's not damaging to them, but
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he
very
was like, yeah, smuggling and selling exotic butterflies.
Yeah. I'll have to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't think most people realize that these are large organized criminal networks facilitating the trafficking of wildlife,
mm-hmm.
but also forests and fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
So from a UN report, which I'll be citing a lot, I'll also link to that in the show notes
mm-hmm.
on the website. An analysis of over 140,000 wildlife species traffic seizures from 2015 to 2021 revealed the involvement of powerful organized crime groups across the world.
Wow.
So these transnational, now we've introduced that word before
yep.
in a previous podcast, so
mm-hmm.
go back and listen. Criminal networks, these transnational networks, engage in various stages of the trade chain. And this includes export, import, brokering prices, storing the animal and animal parts,
mm-hmm.
breeding, and selling to customers. So one of the reasons why this is so lucrative, there are high profits, but
mm-hmm.
also environmental crime overall has a low risk of detection.
Yeah.
So estimates are that the illegal wildlife trade minus fishing, because that generates a whole host of profits on its own,
mm-hmm.
that it generates up to $23 billion a year.
Wow.
And as you said, ranks
mm-hmm.
as the world's fourth largest source of criminal earnings after trafficking in drugs, arms, that's weapons, and humans.
Glad you clarified, because I was going to say, is that like human arms?
I know.
Then we've got human trafficking, harvesting of human
yeah.
products.
I realize sometimes that a lot of things that we say in criminology, like arms trafficking,
mm-hmm.
like it doesn't make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should say weapons
mm-hmm.
trafficking, because
mm-hmm.
that's what it is, but... Anywho, so according
to... I mean,
that
was just an opportunity
yeah.
to make a good joke there. I wasn't
I
really concerned that people wouldn't understand what arms are.
I mean, there is a market for body parts,
yeah.
so that's a future episode right
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
According to the UN, traffickers continuously adapt their methods and routes to evade detection and prosecution, exploiting regulatory loopholes and enforcement weaknesses. Corruption facilitates trafficking efforts, and officials have been involved in countries where most of the poaching occurs to countries where the demand is highest, including like Mozambique, South Africa,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam, and Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
So the UNODC, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, which I don't think we've
mm-hmm.
actually used that one before. Maybe we
mm-hmm.
have.
Mm-hmm.
They report that although organized criminal groups may play central roles in orchestrating the illegal sourcing of some commodities, But the people doing the legwork, they just might be opportunists that are motivated by basic needs for income with limited understanding of the consequences of their actions. And they may be particularly vulnerable when regulatory change criminalizes what were previously legal activities and reduces immediate economic opportunities for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what animals or animal parts are likely to be trafficked, or how are they smuggled, and how does this work? Why? Tell me more.
This you just is mentioned really the butterfly smuggling, right? Mm-hmm. So in the countries just mentioned, it's primarily rhino horns. There is a huge market for tusks, ivory tusks, and we've actually made progress on elephants in terms of wildlife trafficking. But now it's primarily rhino horns, but it could even be endangered turtles from Costa Rica that are trafficked into the U.S. to sell as pets. Mm. So traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, ingredients include parts from over 1,500 species, including tiger bone, pangolin scales, bear bile, and a lot more.
Wow.
So these are ingredients in traditional Chinese medicine, which drives a lot of this wildlife trafficking.
Yeah, interesting.
China is the number one sort of destination, and the United States is second.
Oh, wow.
Behind China, and that's for pets. Mm-hmm. So not food or medicine, it's pets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Asian bears are poached and trafficked for their gallbladder or bile, which is used in TCM, but also for their meat, especially the paws, which the paws are considered a delicacy.
Wow.
Their claws and teeth are sold as trophies, and live bear cubs are traded for pets and private collections.
Interesting. I had to look up TCM because I had no idea what
that was. I didn't spell it out, did I? No, okay. Sorry about that.
No, that it was interesting to kind of learn a little bit more about traditional Chinese medicine.
Yes. So these uses also can evolve over time, making certain animals more likely to be trafficked. In Vietnam, rhino horn is currently being used to treat hangovers and cancer. Mm. And for a short while, a few years ago, geckos were used for HIV/AIDS prevention. I don't
Do
know
they
how
work?
Don't ask me. I'm assuming like parts of them in food that you ingest.
And probably not super effective, I'm guessing.
No. I mean, yeah, let's just stop there. So wealthy people are also stockpiling. Mm-hmm. Some Asian investors are now buying and warehousing rare species and products, banking on their extinction.
Gosh, that's so gross.
I know. Live animals are moved in every way imaginable, taped to people's bodies, or transported under buses and suitcases, wheel wells, socks, plastic water bottles, or in poorly ventilated crates in the hold of a ship.
Well, that just reminded me back to the butterfly episode. Another way that they would smuggle them is that, butterfly collectors, it's not illegal to have a lot of butterflies.
Right.
And so you just kind of fold them up and mask them in your regular butterfly collection that you're bringing to the convention.
Oh,
so that, that was another way that was
interesting.
Yeah. Hide it in plain sight.
Yeah, so while China is top of the list in demand because of TCM, as I mentioned previously, the U.S. is actually second. And this is tied to the pet industry, including turtles. Mm-hmm. But that's also how Mr. Joe Tiger King ends up with his tigers.
Oh, wow. And I'm so glad we get another chance to talk on this podcast about Joe Erotic, Joe Exotic, and that bozo Carol Baskin. But Joe got his tigers from trafficking?
Yes. Actually,
I don't remember this part.
The other person who's in that documentary, and I don't remember his name.
Doc Annell, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I remember that because it's South Carolina.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He actually is, he was fined and tied to a Virginia zoo because they were trying to traffic tiger cubs.
Yeah.
So he was charged $10,000, the article said, but didn't serve any jail time or anything. So, I mean,
which is so weird because he could have his own documentary because he's got this zoo and also this crazy sex cult going on at this animal trafficking zoo. Yeah.
Was there one episode separate on him or something?
I don't think he even got his full, I don't think he even got a full episode.
Okay. We're happy to look
definitely
into his sex
on
cult.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's trafficking these young underage girls and basically his sex. Maybe I saw another documentary or a Dateline episode or something like that. But yeah, he's got this zoo, but also it's this human trafficking sex cult, like slavery, where you, like, yeah.
Yeah. So he learned the ropes, mm-hmm. so to speak, mm-hmm. in animal trafficking and yeah. wildlife trafficking, and mm-hmm. now has applied it to humans.
Yeah. I think, if I remember correctly, he kind of uses the animals to, like, get these people into his harem. Like, it's kind of like bait, like, oh don't you want to yeah. play with these, you know, like tigers. Fluffy tiger cubs and work. Yeah. And yeah, it's awful.
Didn't Joe Tiger King also have a bear? Didn't he have a bear? I don't remember.
Okay, it focused all on the tigers, but yeah. I think he had all kinds of other exotic animals.
Okay, well.
But ultimately, corruption undermining rule of law in the countries where the animals are being trafficked from is an issue, as well as the proliferation of transnational organized crime networks, like yes. we've talked about. But what are some other major problems or concerns with wildlife trafficking?
So what happened 5 years ago this week, actually? Well,
Tiger King came out.
Well, you did.
Yeah, it was that strange confluence where it was like the first days of the pandemic.
Yes.
And also everybody was consuming Tiger King. But
This is the week we didn't come back from spring break, though, five years ago. Yeah. Remember, we went to spring break, and then we mm-hmm. didn't come back from spring break.
Yep. I mean, yeah. I was making a joke, but definitely it's crazy. 5 years ago, pandemic, right. for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so the coronavirus pandemic is an example of the harms that come from wildlife trafficking. Mm-hmm. The origin was a market in Wuhan, China, that sold live and dead animals for food and traditional medicine. But these markets are not limited to China.
Yeah.
About 70% of emerging diseases that affect humans are zoonotic or originating with animals, and other examples include AIDS, the first SARS, and Ebola. Hmm. SARS-CoV-2 originated in bats, but was spread to an intermediary before infecting humans. Mm-hmm. And that intermediary might have been the pangolin, which is a scaly endangered mammal native to Africa and Asia, mm. and very, very cute. Oh. This is like the cutest little animal.
Do they look like, I mean, it sounds like an armadillo. I don't know that yes, I've ever seen a picture
sort
of
look, because they have scales, so mm-hmm. they sort of look like, imagine if an mm-hmm. armadillo looked more like a lizard mm-hmm. and was cuter, okay. like a small mammal. Mm-hmm. You have to go look at pictures now.
I'll have to look up a pangolin.
They are so stinking cute. Mm. But the demand for pangolin scales and meat in China and East Asia has made it the world's most trafficked mammal.
Wow, I didn't even know what it looked like, and I definitely wouldn't have guessed it was the most trafficked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's because we've made progress with elephants mm-hmm. and rhinos mm-hmm. specifically.
Yeah. And wildlife trafficking also ties back to some previous episodes that yes. we've done most recently. Fish justice, for example, the demand for shark fins can, you know, threaten marine ecosystems. And in addition to directly threatening the species populations and disrupting ecosystems and their function, wildlife trafficking can undermine the ability of these systems to mitigate climate change. Yes. And of course, protecting wildlife from poachers can also be harmful and dangerous.
Yes. So the poachers tend to be heavily armed, and the poorly equipped and under-resourced rangers in some areas protecting wildlife are no match. Mm. For example, more than 170 guards have been killed protecting critically endangered mountain gorillas. Mm-hmm. In the DRC's Virunga National Park, that's the Democratic Republic yeah. of Congo.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in April 2020, 12 rangers were killed in one attack on the park. Mm. The nonprofit The Thin Green Line Foundation reported that 595 rangers were killed between the years 2009 to 2016.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah,
about
it's very
that.
Dangerous.
I mean, I knew about poaching, but I did not know rangers were being...
Did you ever see the film Gorillas in the Mist?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I know it because I would see the box in the VHS at the video store all the time, but never...
Yeah. Or your local video mm-hmm. store.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have a Blockbuster chain in Wise County, Virginia.
You did not.
Like Video World or some local something.
With so pornography.
Anyway, yeah, adult room. Yep, see our porn yes. age verification limit for more details on the porn room at the video store I worked at. But anyway, I could talk about that again for days. But let's get back yes. to animal trafficking. What do we do about it?
So obviously this is a global justice issue, and it requires global cooperation. The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, or CITES, is a treaty signed by 183 nations for wildlife conservation by regulating the international trade in over 35,000 species of plants and animals. The CITES permit system seeks to ensure that international trade in listed species is sustainable, legal, and traceable while prohibiting commercial trade in endangered species. But these regulations also need to be enforced, and that's difficult when you have state corruption.
Yeah.
The treaty has not stopped them, as evidenced by the fact that this is the fourth largest global trade.
Yeah.
Illegal traders traffic millions of illegally sourced animals every year by forging paperwork, falsifying permits, and falsifying the origins of the animals. Mm. So technology has also facilitated the global trade, and traffickers are criminally versatile, adapting to regulations or seizures in certain areas. Like you said, they didn't want to give that information on the podcast.
Right.
They also exploit differences in legal regimes and exploit new trends as well. So the UNODC reports that arrests and seizures do nothing to reduce the criminal incentives for illicit trade in wildlife. So you also need to consider demand, but this is not easy because it's heavily tied to cultural and religious practices around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are using social media to showcase the plight of endangered animals and generate support and resources for their protection. Just last month, pics went viral of the armed rangers guarding the last two northern white rhinos in the world in Kenya, and they do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And there was a very cute picture of one of the guards, like, leaning against the rhino.
Oh.
That's their whole job. I mean, that's all they do is just protect these two babies.
Mm. I say babies, but they're grown.
Yeah. So the only male died in 2018. And efforts to breed in captivity have failed. So they're basically functionally extinct.
So there's not even any white rhinos in captivity.
So there are southern white rhinos, and they're almost extinct. Mm-hmm. But these northern white rhinos, there are only two left in the world. They're functionally extinct because we can't breed them.
Right.
And these are females, a mother and a daughter, Najin and Fatu. And you can, you know, see them on Instagram and look at pictures of them.
Nice.
But they did put Sudan, who was the last male that died in 2018, in order to raise money. They put him on Tinder before he died.
Yeah.
And they put all of these, like, descriptors about, you know, trying to get him a date to generate. It was like a good strategy to generate money and resources for conservation efforts, and it worked.
For sure. Yeah, I would swap right or left or whichever. I don't know. Whichever way you swap to get matched. Yeah, I would
and
match.
And also, he was
match with Sudan.
He was the last one in the world. You know, it really inspired people to donate. So the UN reports that recent analyses of illegal trafficking in elephants and rhinoceroses specifically have demonstrated you can do something that works. If it's a comprehensive strategy that addresses both demand and supply, this has yielded some good results. But, you know, like I said, there's only two northern white rhinos left. So
I don't remember where I saw this. I think it was like one of those nature shows on TV, just by chance, and I don't remember much about it, but I think it was like the rangers were actually going in and cutting the horns off of the rhinos so that the poachers wouldn't kill them for the horns. So like, we take the horns away first, so there's no incentive to.
Well, Fajin and Natu, or Najin and Fatu, they still have their horns.
They do. If I remember correctly, they were saying it's like a painless process and not harmful, but it takes, you know.
Yeah. The incentive of a way to kill the
animal.
To
kill them,
right.
But I, again, I don't know. I don't remember much details about that, if that's true or.
I'm not sure. I'll look that up after this episode. And then we'll never tell listeners because we'll never talk about this again.
True.
But this approach, you know, dealing with supply and demand, you need to have like a specific policy focus. Things like stricter market regulations, targeted law enforcement actions against major traffickers. There have been significant decreases in poaching, seizures, and market prices for these species over the past decade in some areas.
Yeah.
Enforcement can't just be reporting seizures of illegal wildlife as it currently stands because it does not deter traffickers. So you know, one of the recommendations from the UN is also to learn from research into other crime sectors, that this might help with identifying remedial approaches that might have positive impacts in dealing with trafficking. Examples include geographic and commodity targeting, so areas and specific animals, criminal behavior forecasting, focused deterrence, which we've talked about that before, as well as the use of restorative justice approaches. So similarly, such research provides useful insights into crime displacement and avoidance of unintended and unhelpful consequences, such as social harms that sustain rather than deter crime motivations.
Nice.
Displacement, right? Like if you, if you get control of one animal that's being trafficked and is in high demand, maybe they switch to something else, right?
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about crime displacement in another episode, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah. It was hard to figure out what all to put in here, you know?
Well, good job. anything else then?
No, I've got nothing else.
All right, so let's wrap it up with our Minute to Spin It, where we give our takeaway from the show today. So what's your spin, Tommy, in just a minute?
Yeah, so the authors of an article on the true cost of wildlife trafficking that I'm going to link to on the website put it like this. So these are their words and not mine. By stopping this deadly trade and protecting wildlife, we will restore ecosystems that provide fresh water for millions of people and mitigate against climate change by providing a buffer from flooding and sequestering carbon. But the emergence of new microbial threats at an unprecedented accelerating rate may also help save us from the next global pandemic.
Nice. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Don't want another of those anytime soon in my lifetime, at least.
Yeah. So basically it's all connected, right? Ben, what's your spin?
Took me a minute to figure out what song this
was.
It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. Yeah. So anyway, wildlife trafficking isn't just harmful to the animals being trafficked, abused, and killed, but it can also hurt the planet, the ecosystem, and our own global health as well. So leave them animals where they are and leave them alone.
Leave them alone. We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.